statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. More to be desired are they than gold, given much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey.
He hears me. Am I confident he hears me? Part of your relationship with the Lord is that when you pray, when you go out and face the day, that you have that knowing, that confidence that he's with you and that he hears you. That is what faith must have. It is not just a faith believing in just a word or something in thin air. Your faith must have an object, a direction. It goes one way, and it's that relationship that you have with the Lord. Remember, your faith, your believing, your confessing, your believing the word of God is about a person who's real, who is alive, who lives today, and he resides and lives in you. His name is Jesus. And when we can begin to grasp this, that my faith isn't just about learning scripture or how much a theology I know, all of that is important, but my faith is about Jesus Christ and him alone, and what he has promised and what he has said. My faith is a dialogue, it is a talk, it is a conversation with him, and it's me hearing from him what he says. That's why we're calling this teaching today, Am I Confident He Hears Me? I want us with that to turn to 1 John chapter 5, and we're going to look at verses 14 and 15 of 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. Now, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. Now, God makes no mistake when he gives such statements like this that we sadly too often just skip and don't really consider what is actually being said here. Now, he says we have the confidence that we have in him. Or now this is the confidence that we have in him. So there is a confidence. There is a knowing. There is a witness. There is something that I know is true. And therefore, the Word of God inspires, encourages me to ask according to His will. Now, this word confidence is an interesting word because in the Greek, the word is parousia. And this means to be persuaded. It is a boldness. It is a confidence. I'm absolutely assured. I'm persuaded. There's no point in doubting because it is true. Because it is Jesus. It's my relationship, my standing with Him. His love for me and my love for Him. That is what my faith and asking by faith is grounded upon. It always comes back, brothers and sisters, to our relationship with God. That is why we teach you the deeper life, because it is about relationship. It is about the one who is the living Word and whose name is Jesus. That is the object of our faith. And that is why he says he's not only the starter but finisher of our faith. And so he says, if we know this word confidence, if we know, and it means to come to an understanding. That is why we come together in faith. We come under the word, under the anointing, in order for us to learn to understand these things. It also means to consider, to recognize. I recognize this is God speaking. My sheep hear my voice, that I know them and they follow me. It is that recognition. It is knowing when God speaks. And out of that comes this confidence, this boldness, this stand that God wants us to have before Him as sons and daughters of God. He's opened the way for this standing as sons before Him. That is what the deeper life in the Spirit is about. That I have this standing with Almighty God. I have this confidence. And when I pray according to His will, I know that He hears me and grants my petitions. How will you know otherwise? How will you have that confidence if you are not seeing your prayers answered? And that is exactly what the devil wants. He's the accuser of the brethren, and he's going to remind you and keep telling you, see, God hasn't heard. He hasn't listened to your prayers. It didn't happen. And that's what you hear more than what you're reading here in verse 14. You are more attuned to listening to the devil, your feelings, your circumstances, why it hasn't happened, than being persuaded by this very verse. And brothers and sisters, you have got to decide what is going to persuade me. What is going to influence me? Is what I read here what God's love letter to me says, or am I going to continue listening to the devil who robs and steals? You have to decide that one. I can't do that for you. I can only reveal, expose him, what he does, But it's up to you who you believe. Because this Greek word parousia means we know. I understand. I recognized. I'm persuaded. I know it is true. Therefore, this gives me a stand of boldness before my Heavenly Father, and I make my requests known unto Him. That is acting your faith. God is looking to see you act your faith. That then gives him something to work with. We've given you the analogy many times. The potter needs the clay in which to work to make that vessel. And your confidence, your persuasion is that clay you present before the master potter, who will begin to work and mold and work with that. And he says, only if it's a mustard seed of faith, that's even enough for him to work with. There's the grace and mercy of God. We are so trapped in ourselves. Exactly what the devil wants. And here he says here, now this is the confidence that we have in him, not in ourselves, in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And what is the will of God? It is the Bible, the word of God you hold in your hand, that we are expounding from today, teaching from. And then he says you have that assurance, you have that confidence, you have that persuasion. Did you know that the Holy Spirit actually persuades you? What do we mean by that? He doesn't give up on you. He keeps influencing you. He keeps working with you. He keeps getting your attention until finally you get it. To give you that assurance, that boldness that comes from the word. This is why we're calling this teaching today, Am I Confident He Hears Me? In other words, it means the absence of fear and unbelief. Because that is what he's dealing with. It's what he's dealing with today. This is why he's addressing this to us. Because he's still seeing with FGA and all those who listen to this, he's still seeing fear, unbelief working. You might not think it is, but he sees it. And in his love and grace and mercy, he brings it up yet again. I've lost count how many times I preach on faith. But one thing I do, if it comes up again like it is, it's to persuade us so that we are assured by his grace and mercy that when I pray in the name of Jesus, according to his word, his will, I have the confidence he has heard. Hebrews 11:1, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I'm simply waiting for the manifestation. The letter has been sent. It's on its way. I know because the person who has written this letter to me has said they have posted it. I'm now waiting for the letter to come through the letterbox. That is what it means. When you receive these promises and stand upon them, confess, pray them, the letter has been sent in Jesus' name. You're just waiting for the delivery. And that is our problem. And then we begin to start to listen to the devil. See, he hasn't answered. See, He isn't faithful. See, this deeper life teaching you're hearing, it doesn't really work. Does it sound familiar? Of course it does, because he says it to me. But I've asked God one thing. Every time the devil tries to come with a negative, Father, work it to make me even more bolder, to oppose him. That's why. Because he lies. And sadly, that prayer, that seed of faith, he is snatched and taken away. But God is merciful because he wants you to get it right. He wants to answer your prayers, your petitions, according to the will of God. And he wants not only to give you that, but you have that assurance, that confidence, that boldness, which the enemy hates in a believer. And we know he hears us. Whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. And here it is, we know. It's that knowing, that experience. It's the same like the disciples knew Jesus. They were with him. They touched him. They ate with him. They heard him. They saw the miracles from him. They listened to his teaching. They saw him rejected. They saw him go to the cross. And they saw the Father raise him up. That is the knowing that he places within us. They knew that. They couldn't deny that. That's why we have four gospels written of four men giving their account, their witness, the evidence. They saw it with their eyes. And the same Spirit who gave them that is giving that to you and me through the Holy Spirit as we get into the Word of God. That is what he's saying there. We know that we have the petitions that we ask of him. I don't need any more proof. I don't need any more evidence. I know. I've seen it. And that's what he's doing. That's what he's doing with us if we allow him to do it and stop listening to the devil. What does it say in 1 John 2? 1 John chapter 2 and verse 28. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. There you go again. He wants you to have that confidence and not be ashamed because of unbelief and fear at his appearing. He's talking about when he comes for the overcomers. And this is how the bride is making herself ready. By faith, you see, he wants you again to have this confidence, this assurance that we're talking about. And he's going to deal with any hindrance that gets in the way of our faith, like he's addressing today, some of these hindrances that we're still entertaining. What does it say in 1 John 3 and verse 21? 1 John 3 and verse 21. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God. There you go. Is your heart condemning you? Are you having a problem because you know there's still that fear, that unbelief, that confusion? That stops the confidence. He says we have the confidence toward God. And that's what he wants you to have. Whatever your circumstances, whatever you're going through, however you feel. And most of us were going through trials and tests or whatever. But he's saying, look away from that. Have the confidence towards God that he's heard your prayers, your petitions. He's heard what you've asked. Whether it's for healing, deliverance, or the salvation of your family, or that new job that you want, whatever you're believing for, he wants you to have that confidence. And that's what Satan doesn't want you to have. He wants you to cower away. He wants you to hide. He wants you to be held in self-pity. Poor me. Look at me. My prayers don't get answered. God doesn't love me. Why is it happening to others and not me? Does it sound familiar? Of course it does. You're playing his game. God has, through the Holy Spirit, given you everything in which to believe, to walk confidently and boldly before him. That is why you receive the Holy Spirit and the baptism of the Holy Spirit, in order to walk like Jesus walked. And yet it seems most don't want it, because they're so trapped in self, me. But praise God, the good news is that God has presented the cross to us that's going to deal with me, poor me. It's going to put it to death, so that you begin to experience the life of Christ in you, quickened to you. It is not wrong to say, my faith is his faith. His faith is my faith. His confidence is my confidence, and my confidence is his confidence. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's not what you are trying to muster up. Are you trying with this? Then stop. Stop where you are, because it is Christ in you ministering this. It's what he wants of you is to believe and to yield over to the Spirit and stop fighting, resisting him. Because the enemy gets into your emotions and your feelings, and they hinder the Holy Spirit from working and taking over in your life. That's why the devil does it. He knows exactly where to stop the power of God manifesting, working, and taking over in your life. He uses your family. He uses your marriage at times. He uses your boss at work. He uses your child. Those things that are around us, whom we love and cherish, and yet they can be the very things that rob you of your faith and power in God. That is why the Lord has the sword of the Spirit over the family. They often are the biggest hindrance to our faith. It's not that we don't love them, but we hate that stops us from obeying and yielding to God. And it's often through them, sadly. Let God be God. He knows. I know this is controversial. I know it hurts. But we have to grow up in this and stop allowing our emotions and feelings to dictate to us. Of course we have feelings and emotions. They are God-given, but they need to be inspired by the Holy Spirit, and that's the difference, you see. And eventually we get it. And the confidence is we keep coming, we keep listening, and we keep allowing the Word of God to do its work. And that is our faith. because we need an enduring faith, a faith that will believe when everything's going against you, and often it is. But I still keep coming, and I will still keep listening by the grace and mercy of God. And eventually we get it. We break through. The healing comes. The understanding. Eventually it drops from the head to the heart. And that's why we're called to endure, to stay with it, remain with it. That's what overcomers do. Because our faith says, all right, I haven't yet received it. I haven't yet fully understood it, but I will. Because I come and I listen to the word of God. You see? This is why I say you can't go wrong in this. Don't listen to the devil's lies. He's trying every trick of the book to stop us. But it won't. He can't do it. Because God has decreed what he has spoken into being, no weapon formed against it will ever prosper. That's why his church and the remnant that stand upon the rock of Jesus Christ, it will accomplish, it will happen, it will overcome. Because he has spoken it into being. Praise God for that. Not by might, not by power, by my spirit, says the Lord. What does it say in 1 John 4, verse 17? 1 John 4, 17. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. So there they have this boldness through persecution, through judgment, because they know they stand in him, the one who has overcome all things, the one who has judged sin in my life and dealt with it and cast it away as far as the east is to the west. There is the confidence and boldness that we have in him. And that's why you see sin and unbelief will always interfere with this standing. Unconfessed sin is such a hindrance to your prayers and being answered. And that is a lot of the problem. What does it say in 1 John 2, chapter 2? Verses 1 to 2, my little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. Praise God. There is the efficacy of Christ's sacrifice that keeps us restored in fellowship with the Father, the mediator. He is the one that deals with unbelief and sin to keep us standing with God, to hear from him, so that we are changed by the power of the Holy Spirit, you see. We get this understanding also if we turn to the Gospel of John, in John 13 and verse 10. In John 13 and verse 10, Jesus said to him, he who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean, and you are clean, but not all of you. So he means here that you keep clean, you bathe. That's what we do. We shower or we have a bath. And he's talking about the custom here where the feet are made clean. And it was the custom that when you came from a journey, you would enter into house, you would wash your feet because of the journey. The road is dusty and so on. And so he said, not the whole body, needs to be clean, just wash your feet. And this is dealing with everyday grime that we pick up because we walk. The idea of feet is to walk. We're shod with the gospel. It means that we move forward, we share, we're active in our faith. The same as we walk with our feet is what keeps us moving, going from A to B. But that needs to be cleansed because the world is grimy. And that's what we deal with. And that's why we come daily into God's presence in prayer, seeking Him, allowing the Holy Spirit to cleanse us. If we're holding any grudges, or we've said the wrong thing, or sinned with our tongues, or we've looked at the wrong things that we shouldn't look at, or whatever. Our feet need cleaning. They're grimy, they're dirty. Doesn't mean all of you need cleaning. As we'd be washing or bathing about 5-10 times a day. That's not what it means here. And that's what Jesus is saying. He's revealing what he's going to do. He's revealing the power of the blood of the Lamb, the efficacy of it, how that it continues to keep us clean, washed. What for? To have that standing. And that standing is confidence before him, boldness, so that you can make your requests known and that your prayers are answered, that glorifies his name. The reason your prayers are not getting answered, because you're not dealing with sin. There's the problem. The Holy Spirit wants to make you sensitive, and he'll do it. So that if you've done something or you've not met the standard, you come aside, you deal with it immediately. You don't let it fester and build up because the devil gets in and uses it. And there he begins to condemn you. See, it doesn't work. This faith business is all over the top. It's too extreme. Nobody can walk it. Nobody can keep it. That's what he tries to start saying. And he's got in because you've not confessed. You've not brought it out into the light. You've not had your feet washed. And that's why we need to keep daily fellowship with our Heavenly Father. It's vital, particularly for the overcomers who are making themselves ready, because it's all about relationship, dialogue with God, going into your closet daily with him. And finally, let's look at this scripture in 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 to 10. 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 to 10. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, our hands have handled concerning the word of life. That is what he's talking about. He's talking about his experience, seeing Christ, handled him, walked with him, saw him crucified, saw him risen, saw him ascend up into heaven. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you, that your joy may be full. He's sharing the witness. He has a boldness, a confidence. He has seen it. He knows it. And he can pass this on to us. and the Holy Spirit through the baptism of the Spirit is now what we read there in those four verses, making that a witness to you and me. As though we were there and we saw him and walked with him and saw him crucified and risen and ascended into heaven. He's making that same witness by the Spirit to us. What for? For your faith, your confidence, your stand before him. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. And if we say that we have fellowship with him, we walk in darkness, if we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanses us from all sin. And if we say that we have not sinned, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. And there's the problem when you're not dealing with sin, dealing with unbelief, dealing with those prayers that didn't get answered, that didn't glorify God. You deal with it. You confess that that was unbelief. I didn't pray in faith, confidence. I thought I was, but it wasn't. Cleanse me by the blood of the Lamb. Give me another chance. And he will. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar. His word is not in us. Those 10 verses is the grace and mercy of God, who doesn't give up on us. Thank God for those 10 verses, because I wouldn't stand a chance myself. But I see what it says, and we keep close accounts so that it gives us to standing before Almighty God. This deals with pollution that we pick up on our daily journey, because this world is polluted. It's defiled. It's unclean. It's getting ready to be judged. A car has to be washed regular because of the pollution on the roads. Your houses have to be kept clean and tidy. They soon get defiled otherwise. Your garden, you have to work on it to keep it tidy and clean. We have to work on these things. These things have to be renewed. Sometimes they have to be changed. They get too old. You can't renew them anymore. This is what sin has done. And thank God that he washes us, he cleanses us, he renews our youth like the eagles. He preserves and keeps us in this defiled, polluted world that we live in. What for? For a relationship with him, for a stand that we have with him. But he has to deal with those outer things that fight against us, that fight against our faith. That's why he places within us the law of life that is in Christ Jesus, not the law of death. And yet we allow that law of death, don't we, to take over. Because we take our eyes off him and we're too focused on ourselves and the situations around us. Sin has defiled everything, brothers and sisters, on the earth. Even the stars in the heavens are not clean before his sight. This is what sin did. And we're now being restored back in Jesus Christ. And he's showing us how to do it. He's making it absolutely clear. Don't fight against him. Just yield to the Spirit and allow the power of God to work it in and through you. That is why I say so often as I close now, most of our salvation is about waiting on God. That's partly what we're saved for. We're saved for relationship, to walk in covenant with him. And much of that is about waiting on God. And through that waiting, he then will begin to work. And there'll come that day when you find yourself praying that prayer of faith, a stand, a boldness that is there. Because God has done that work. He's done deliverance with you. He's done healing with you for the purpose that your prayers can get answered. So don't ever give up. Your day may be tomorrow or next week. It could be any time. Because faith is always expecting, believing. Is it today? I'll walk it by faith. Because that is what, this is how we walk it, you see. And if we fail, we miss the mark, get washed by the blood of the Lamb. Keep your feet washed and clean. This gives you that standing and confidence and boldness before God to make your requests known before him. And so we've been looking today in 1 John 5, 14, 15. And I leave you again with this, which he says, now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. Faith is knowing and has no room to entertain any doubts.
Of God.